Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, friends. 6 minutes past 6 o'clock. Listen to this as we start the show today. It is both unethical and dishonest for the governor's office to try to gain back-channel control of an independent office meant to promote open government and build the public's trust. It is both unethical and dishonest for the governor's office, while responding to the news of her resignation, to accuse Ginger McCall of lying. And it's both unethical and dishonest for Brown to attempt to distance herself from responsibility for the actions of her top advisors when she's the one running the show. So says, unbelievably, the editors of The Oregonian, a newspaper that is well known for defending Democrat interests and Kate Brown, except, like most newspapers in the state, they no longer are. We're going to talk a little bit about this today because yours truly has made the news. Yeah. You see, yesterday I filed a bar complaint against the governor's top lawyer, whom she has appointed to the Oregon Court of Appeals, Misha Isaac, a bar complaint to not only with the bar for his unethical actions, as described by Ginger McCall, but also his abuse of authority, his intimidation. But it goes deeper than that, friends. And I filed that and demanded an investigation by the bar. And I've also filed the same thing with the Judicial Fitness Commission. You see, that's the bar is the one that oversees lawyers, right? The Judicial Fitness Commission is the one that establishes rules that oversees judges. Now, what's stunning here about the Oregonian editorial and the continued news stories about this, and yes, I made the Oregonian by doing that. And Lars talked a little bit about it yesterday on his show, because I sent the stuff to him, and he said, darn it, you beat me to the punch. The editorial board of the Oregonian has said that Brown, starting with Isaac, should rescind his nomination to the Oregon Court of Appeals or encourage him to voluntarily withdraw his name. You see, this is about, and this is the point they're making here. They write here, even before the news of McCall's resignation, the decision to give her inexperienced but loyal lawyer a seat on the appellate court smacked of cronyism. But McCall's very credible allegations that he pressured her to support the governor's political objectives over the mission of her independent office merit pulling the nomination completely. If true, such scorn for transparency and disrespect for the office independence shows Isaac to be unqualified for the appeals court. And nothing is stopping Isaac, they write, a 37-year-old attorney with no bench experience, from seeking a seat on the appeals court through the elections process if he so desires. Voters are free to choose him if they think he's trustworthy. But there's no reason he should be gifted a vacant seat. Brown only hurts her own reputation by following through with this nomination, which was problematic from the start. Now, how many of you ever thought in your lifetime you would hear an Oregonian, any Oregonian editorial board say such things? Now, I will tell you that yesterday I released a press release also about my bar complaints and the Judicial Fitness Commission complaint, which I allege that he may have violated a number of these rules. And I cite the rules. Now, I did this because lawyers helped me draft up how I would say this. Now, I don't know this stuff. It's not my job to know it. As a former legislator, yes, I know how to look at laws. I know how to read them. I know how to try to parse them for what they are, for what they say and what they don't say. I get all of that stuff. But in terms of knowing the basics of how would, I mean, you know as well as I do, this was just an unseemly, sordid revelation. And as I tweeted yesterday, as Oregon Capitol Watch, not as Jeff Krupp, but as Oregon Capitol Watch, it's the cover-up that always gets you, right? I mean, how many times have we heard that? In Washington, D.C., that's the norm. Well, it's the same here. You see, and Kate's been called on the carpet for it, saying on one hand, well, I didn't know about it, and then this story broke yesterday from Hillary Baroud in the Oregonian. And I sent her this stuff, by the way. I sent her, because I think she's done some very good reporting on it. So also as the Willamette Week. But it seems that the Oregonian and Hillary Baroud have really taken the lead on it. So I sent her the complaint and my press release. She wrote a story about it. You see, Kate chose to put the spin out there. And the Oregonian in this editorial has basically acknowledged that. Because, and I go back to this last sentence, quote, but there's no reason he should be gifted a vacant seat. Brown only hurts her own reputation by following through with this nomination, which was problematic from the start. This issue is about Misha Isaac and Emily Matassar, both lawyers for the governor's office. And I've had some interactions with Emily as I've sought various public records requests in my work at Oregon Capitol Watch Foundation. But it really reflects more than anything on Kate Brown, does it not? Ultimately, here's a question I want to pose for you to think about. As more of the cover-up and the inconsistencies, because again, Hillary Baroud yesterday writes this article saying that memos from Emily Matassar, one of her lawyers involved in this whole sordid affair, shows that they briefed Kate Brown, but yet Kate Brown earlier in the week said, I didn't know anything about it. That was a lie. Add that to the story about the, from yesterday again, that Oregon's open records bill died after the governor's staff, this is the headline in the Oregonian, after the governor's staff privately contradicts her transparency pledge. This is stunning stuff. This is from Molly Young at the Oregonian. Here's what she writes in the first paragraph. Top staffers for Governor Kate Brown privately worked against a pro-transparency bill that ultimately failed in June, according to the records released by the Oregon's public records advocate in the wake of her resignation Monday. Brown had pledged to increase transparency under her watch since she was sworn in as governor in 2015, yet memos and emails show staffers and lobbyists working on Brown's behalf opposed a proposal to make the state agencies track and disclose information about records requests they receive from the public. Now, let's stop here for a moment, because as you read this article, what you understand is that the reason that Brown gave for opposing this was because the agency said it was going to cost too much. That's another lie. You know why it's another lie? As I will tell you from personal experience, that when you make a public records request, you go to their website. It goes to a central request location. And DAS has an advocate this young man works very well and very hard at getting back to you when you make a public records request. And the excuses they made that it would cost too much, and there's over 200 offices that would receive these, and that there's no way they could track them, was another lie. because you go to the central website. There is a central repository and a central method on the internet that you have to make these public records requests. And you know what? As this story notes, later on, these same agencies came back, especially the biggest one, DHS, came back and said, well, the cost is zero. That happened at the end of the legislative session, yet this bill, which Kate Brown, this news story says she publicly supported it. So in other words, Kate was lying, while in fact her staff, and believe me, she knew all about this, folks, was privately working to kill it. Now, that in and of itself is dishonest, is it not? Is it not just as dishonest as Misha Isaac asking Ginger McCall, the public records advocate, to be dishonest? I think it is. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Two things. How can a, and I put this in my press release, how can a lawyer appointed to the bench be trusted when he has allegedly acted dishonestly? How can that person be trusted to judge you and I fairly in a non-political way? Now, as a side note, how would you expect that judge who has acted dishonestly in a public records request manner, advocating for the governor's interest, not the law, how could that judge be expected to judge fairly and in a nonpartisan manner if, in fact, the Oregon Court of Appeals would hear such a public records case? As they already have. Now, that's the first thing. Second thing is, does this ultimately hurt Kate Brown? In all sincerity, as these stories continue and as the Oregonian editorial makes clear, Brown is hurting herself. I made that point yesterday when I called in my press release that if these allegations are true, and that's the whole point of an investigation, and I'll get into it and I'll share with you exactly what this stuff was in terms of my talking with lawyers to say, okay, this smells, something's wrong here. How would this have violated? What rules or laws would these things have violated? The things that Misha Isaac did. We'll get into all of that. Plus, Ron is on the line. Ron, hold on. Unfortunately, you called just before we're going to the break. We'll get to Ron and his comments in just a moment, friends. You're listening to Political Coffee at 6:20 in the morning. Lots to talk about. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Here's another question for you with the Oregonian unexpectedly coming out, basically hitting Brown in a number of ways for saying one thing and then doing another continually. And saying that she's hurting her own reputation. How long until she cuts Isaac loose? In other words, rescinds the nomination and fires him, which I called for in my press release. How long do you think it is? Today? Tomorrow? She already threw him under the bus because she lied. I mean, she keeps getting caught in these lies, right? She said she didn't know anything about this And then the news story yesterday was, oh, yeah, the memo said from your own lawyer, you did know about it. You were briefed on it. How long until you think these stories, maybe they already have impacted the number of people that are signing recall petitions? Let's go to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Ron, what do you say this morning, brother?
Hey, I just got home from work. Let me tell you something, my brother. This is number 41 of things that Kate Brown has done. And this is about the fourth incident. You know, she proclaimed herself like the previous president that she's going to be transparent, wasn't going to walk down the lines. I see it's covering her backsides in many cases. And at the same time, she's talking out of both sides of her mouth like a forked-tongued serpent. And that's what would you get when you get a retro-Bolshevik with a Marie Antoinette complex, telling everybody else to eat cake while she can walk about and think that she's God. And this is something people in Oregonians, I will tell you, of all walks, of all political persuasions, I'm not saying to encourage a recall, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is another reason you should recall. You should sign a petition. This is another reason that when the petition does get completed on both of them, it would be damning if both petitions go through the finish line and 5 days she have to choose resignation. She, you know she's not going to resign, especially when Bloomberg and other people has given her an extra $50,000 to a situation where she's not supposed to be running for a second term. I like that money-making. And my last thing I would say is that how many other skeletons she got in the closet she's hiding now? I mean, I'm not trying to be, this is conspiracy theory on some people, but is there a possibility she might have an out of wedlock kid somewhere trying to deny it? Is she trying to cover her backside to do a favor for one of her political buddies? And if Mr. Misha gets to be a judge, why they're not, I hate to say it, Jeff, if I have any confidence in our judicial system, they will not run him down the road like they did Miss Judge Vance Day. If they're going to push Judge Vance Day through the hell and misery that they put him through, and he was an honorable judge based on his character outside of activities, then the justice system in Oregon is no worse than Tammany Hall in New York.
You're right.
The retro-Bolsheviks has infiltrated and basically become pay-for-play oligarchs. That's what they've become, people. So, people, I'll encourage you. We need more signatures. Sign that recall and vote. We do not need nobody going to be fucking tongue. Let's make this the second state on the left coast since Gray Davis of the People's Republic of California that have been recalled by and for the people. She's supposed to be a servant to us and supposed to be transparent to us. She makes political decisions that's supposed to affect Oregonians, not benefit outside interests or anybody else. For these reasons, Oregonians, no matter where you're at along the I-5 corridor in this state or east of the Cascades or you're listening on the podcast, make sure we get these next 3.5 weeks, get the recall petition signed. Don't matter if you left, right, or center. Right is right and wrong, wrong. And as I tell everybody, God don't like lukewarm people. And I don't like snakes that have forked tongues. So I usually cut their heads off. That's all I got to say about it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too. So that says a lot right there. The judicial system, if these are the kinds of people that Kate Brown and other governors, Democrat governors, are appointing to the bench, can you trust the judges to make fair decisions in your case? Think about if it was you. I mean, these... Again, the purpose of this show is to give you questions and thoughts that you can use to persuade others, the persuadable. That's a fair question to ask, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to trust our judges to impartially judge us and the law, interpret the law, right? Judge the law? How can you trust a justice who has clearly, at least in my mind, and clearly in Ginger McCall's mind, violated the code of ethics of a lawyer? Why? Because you work for Kate Brown. That's why. Now, by the way, I'm told that Misha Isaac was in the middle of covering up. Remember, it's the cover-up that gets you. He was in the middle of covering up that infant's death in the hands of, well, at state custody during the election. Covering it up so that it wouldn't become a story that would hurt Kate. Now, this is not just something. It's not a little thing, friends. It's a big deal. The Oregonian in the editorial continues here. Quote, Brown also should answer for the actions of those in her office. It's not just Isaac's pressure to his or his demeaning and insulting advice to McCall that she should slow down and not be so ambitious. It's not just that Brown's government accountability attorney, Emily Matisar, apparently followed Isaac's leads in pressuring McCall. It's also the immediate response by her spokesman, Chris Pear, to try to discredit McCall after the news of her resignation broke. In an email to Oregon Public Broadcasting, Pear said her allegations were untrue, unquote, which was largely refuted by Brown herself in a statement at the end of the day. That attack dog instinct to label McCall a liar reveals how much or much about how the governor's office handles unflattering news. Where does attitude in an organization come from? It's another point you can use in persuading others. Ask that question. Doesn't it always come from the top down? Is this Kate's attitude about handling unflattering news? Remember her revenge. Is this the kind of person you want serving as your governor? It's 6:30 in the morning. It's interesting, isn't it? There's more to come when we come back from Gold. No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us, friends. If you're just joining us, we're talking about how yours truly has made the news. There's an Oregonian story about me filing a bar complaint yesterday against Misha Isaac. And why? And I'm going to read you the email that I sent to both the Oregon State Bar, which is the group of lawyers that oversees lawyers. And if you're disbarred, can't practice law. You lose your livelihood. It's kind of a big deal. And these bar complaints are not little things to be just, it's no big deal. Believe me. I was told, by the way, yesterday that Misha Isaac is just freaking out about all this news coverage, as he should be. But the bar, and that was before the bar complaint, by the way. I also filed the same request, which I will read to you here in a little bit. In a moment, we're going to go to Brian, who's on the line, with the Judicial Fitness Commission. Because if he is ultimately confirmed to be Kate Brown's replacement for a vacancy on the Court of Appeals, then he comes under their rules. And I'll cite for you the rules that other lawyers told me would be appropriate for the both the bar and the Judicial Fitness Commission to investigate this guy over. But the reality is it's deeper than this. And the Oregonian really hits at it. It's about Kate Brown, folks. So the question I've asked is this. Shouldn't we be able to trust the justices, the judges at all levels that are judging us and ruling on our cases, whether it's a property rights case or maybe it's a criminal case? How can we trust this man? If these allegations are true of him asking the government, records advocate to do something dishonest, deceitful. As the Oregonian story points out about me, you can't do that. That's a reason for you to actually be disbarred as a lawyer. How can we trust this guy? Even more importantly, Kate Brown's been caught lying about this. Does this hurt her? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. I'll do my best to read it on the air. Let's go to Brian, who's on the line. Brian, good morning. What do you think?
Hi, Jeff. It all goes back to the issue of honesty and character. And our nation seems like in politics, and maybe it's always been this way, but it has gotten so corrupt and greedy for power and for money and et cetera. I think it was Jefferson that had an advisor, a Jewish man, I can't remember the man's name, who advised him in setting up the Constitution. He referred him to Isaiah 33:22, which says, "For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our sovereign." He said, "You can't put all that power into one man's hand like traditionally kings and tyrants have had." So, through the course of the history of the last few decades, or since I was a child, the Bible has been thrown out of the public discourse because it's claiming separation of church and state. But originally, our Congress imported 22,000, or about 20,000 Bibles from England, and called it that great political book. It takes a moral and literate people to maintain their freedom. And this is the whole crux of the issue. We deal on the local level, state level, and on up to the big swamp. So I think she should be recalled for the mere fact that she lies and makes these statements and lies and tries to cover up. And she's not, in my opinion, she's not worthy to be a governor.
Ryan, thank you. I appreciate it. And you make an interesting point. Because if Kate Brown is being excoriated by editorialists all across the state, basically the Oregonian saying she's hurting herself, she needs to rescind Misha Isaac's nomination of the Oregon Court of Appeals. What they're talking about is her lack of character, as they expose the fact that she lied about not knowing anything about this in that news story yesterday. Her own lawyer's memo is revealed in the public records request, shows she was briefed on it. That's dishonesty. We have laws against lying, but those are principles from the very beginning. Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's out of the Bible. And Brian's point is well taken. If you are going to govern from a place that does not respect ultimately the rule of law in terms of honesty, whether it's given to you through your belief in faith, or it's if you're not a person of faith, but you still believe that laws mean something, and that in our society, in our republic, but in mankind, there has to be some structure. If everybody lies to each other, you would have nothing but chaos. There would be no trust in anything. No trust in marriage, no trust in family, certainly no trust in the law, trust in government. Ultimately, that's what this is about. And it's the point that I made in my press release when I announced that I was filing these bar complaints. Yeah, I mean, this is why I say to you all that the way we're going to change Oregon is, first of all, with prayer, and then secondly, one person at a time, with each of us influencing other people in our world, persuading the persuadable. How can you trust a judge to judge you fairly if that same judge was a lawyer who worked for a governor and did dishonest things. How can you trust that? You can't, can you? That's a question you can ask. And you can also say, well, doesn't attitude in an organization come from the top down? Of course it does. Everybody knows it does. Everybody knows that's how it is in your family, isn't it? Yeah. That's something else that you can say to people. So if, as the Oregonian editorial has pointed out, Kate Brown needs to get a hold of her staff, really what they're saying is Kate Brown needs to change how she leads her staff, leads the state. Because they've just caught her in another lie. Kudos to Defend1776, who sent me an interesting email about Kurt Schrader is having a telephone town hall on September 19th. And he writes, this might be a good opportunity for your listeners who are comfortable talking on the telephone or who are at least somewhat persuasive, not shouters or ranters or ravers, to make your views known to both Congressman Schrader and others who participate in this telephone town hall. He sends invitations like this to those who are on his mailing list. If you're not on his mailing list, you can call his office and get on his mailing list. And he provided me with the email. And you know what? If you want to this is a great idea. You want to tell Kurt Schrader what you think about things, and maybe he doesn't always talk to you. I remember when I was with AFP and we were protesting Kurt Schrader in his vote in favor of Obamacare. He held these little town hall meetings. They weren't really town hall meetings. He would go into an area. He came to Staten, and you had to sign up, and you went into a room one person at a time. And he sat there along with his staff, and you got to have 2 minutes talking to him, and he would just sit there and listen. And then you were ushered out. So much for a telephone. So much for a town hall meeting. In this case, this is a telephone town hall. Now, you got to be careful with these things, because you'll sign up for them. Be careful what you say that you want to say to, because how it works is his staff will pick the people that they want to hear from. But it still is an opportunity for you to maybe get on that list if you're careful about what you say you want to talk about. Don't lie. Don't ever lie. But just couch it in certain terms. Friends, if you haven't tried CBD oil, you need to. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial here in Salem, right next to Safeway, is a great place for you to buy CBD oil products. They work. Worked for me. It helped me with my pain. I sleep better. Maybe you should try it. Go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. So 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. So here's the email that I sent to the Judicial Fitness Commission and the Oregon State Bar asking for an investigation of Misha Isaac. Please investigate ethics violations that have been alleged in many news reports and public records by Attorney Ginger McCall against Attorney Misha Isaac. Details and links to public records are in the following links. So I listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 news stories. And that was before all of the news stories broke yesterday about Kate Brown knew about all of this stuff. Now, I'll get into more of this, plus your thoughts about all of this as we go through. This is about trust, friends. People have to be held accountable, no matter who they are. Don't you think? You're listening to Political Coffee. One segment to go. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Shoot me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. I'll do my darndest to read it on the air. Got an email from Chris. He said, long time no talk. Hope all your hemp is doing well. Ours has been great. Hopefully weather stays on our side. In reality, in my view, is that the far left are actually on the wrong side of morality and godliness. They don't follow our creator, and instead they do literally the exact opposite. What's even more scary is that all of them desire power so much that they won't even acknowledge Kate's shortcomings in the least bit, even though they are faithfully obvious. They see discord and an air of craziness almost at all times. Nearly everything that comes out of their mouth is the opposite of any normal human being would believe or how they would live their own life. Well said, Chris. Let's go to the phones. Caller, welcome. Who are you and your thoughts today?
Hey, is this Jeff?
It is. And who's this?
This is Vern out here in Staten. You know who it
is. I know that voice. How are you, friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. I just wanted to call you and tell you that thanks so much for what you're doing to expose Governor Brown and all this unethical stuff that she's doing there. And we need more people like you doing this type of stuff.
Well, you're far too kind, my friends. For those of you who don't remember Vern, he is a 95-year-old combat veteran of World War II.
When people do a good job, you got to tell them. And earlier this year, we had Armed Forces Day in Salem, and I got to meet the governor, and I tell you, she's a cold fish.
Well, so, I'm laughing because you just described her perfectly.
Well, hey, while I got you on, how's this recall going on to replace her?
It's going very well. Good. I know as a fact, Vern,
okay,
that
well,
both organizations, as of last week, both organizations were over halfway there to getting enough signatures. So it means it's going to be really tight between now and October 14th, which is the day they have to turn them in. So
Okay. That's
why everybody should go sign a petition. You can go on the internet, download the single signer, flushdownkatebrown.com or katebrownrecall.com. Either one. Sign both.
Hey, I'm glad you're putting that out there because they were signing a petition in front of the old Kmart or Shopko store in Salem not too long ago. Anyway, there was a line of people there waiting to sign it. I was really enthused about the turnout of people wanting to get their name on that. And so I was just in hopes that it was going great.
It is going well. They're going to need every signature. Vern, good to talk to you, friend. I got to move on to other callers.
Yeah, I know. I got a doctor's appointment in Salem I got to head out for now. So
right,
I just
brother.
Wanted to tell you, keep up the good work, and you're doing
Thank
great.
Thank you, friend. It's always good to hear your voice. That's Vern. Let's go to Rebecca, and then we'll move on to Gail. So hang on, Gail. Rebecca, good morning. Your thoughts.
Good morning. There at Corbin College tonight, there's going to be a presentation that has to do with being transgendered. And so I thought I would go hold a sign outside of the school. And I'm going to have the recall there, too. And so if anybody wants to come to Corbin College, I'll probably arrive there around 4 o'clock and people can come, and I'm going to be outside of one of the parking lots there in the front there. So people can come and pull off and sign if they want to. But, the college, is presenting this thing on transgenderism. So I don't know what they're going to say, but my sign is going to be about Walt Heyer, and he went and cut his parts off. And then he discovered he wasn't a woman and he wasn't any happier, and he tried to commit suicide. His book is called Gender, Lies, and Suicide. And his website is called sexchangeregret.com. And on that website, is an article about 9 kids in Oregon who now say that they have been pushed into doing the same thing, cutting their parts off, with the promise that they could be the opposite sex. And that now they're saying that they were mutilated, and it was a doctor up at OHSU who did the surgery. And the surgery itself is a mutilation of healthy tissue. And if you dare say that, you can get fired from your job. So there's a political push toward this. And it's the tragedy is that our children are being targeted for this in the public schools. And this book, Gender, Lies, and Suicide, is an eye-opening book of a man who's already done this and tried to commit suicide and found that, and for the first time in his whole life, the only person that ever loved him unconditionally was Jesus Christ and then the people who carried Jesus Christ in them. And up until that time, he had been sexually abused his whole life. And so that
well, all right, Rebecca, thank you.
Corbin College tonight.
Corbin College this evening. I got to let you go because I need to move on to Gail here. So Rebecca's going to be at Corbin College this evening, starting at 4 o'clock. She'll have recall petitions there. It's an interesting topic. It's not the one we're talking about today, but the recall certainly adds into today's topic. Thank you, Rebecca. Let's go on to Gail. Gail, good morning, and your thoughts today. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. I will make this quick. The Kate Brown recall petitions can be signed at the Oktoberfest. If you look for a big 3-foot balloon, the Republican Party has made this happen, a big 3-foot balloon at City Hall, Mount Angel, during the Oktoberfest. Kate Brown recall petitions. Sorry, I can't talk this morning.
No, believe me, you're not alone, my dear. I stumble over my words, too. All right, so that's at the Oktoberfest, and you're talking about Oktoberfest out in Silverton?
Or Mount Angel? Mount Angel.
Mount Angel, right. Okay, recall petitions
so
there.
Mount Angel City Hall. I believe they're going to try to do it during all the hours. I know we're just going for a short signing session ourselves to help. So, and yeah, I'm sure help can be needed. So,
indeed, folks, if you want to help, that's the other thing. It's not just signing the petition, but it's helping people go to these kinds of. And the Oktoberfest is a great place to get signatures. A lot of people show up there. It's a great opportunity to connect with people. And these stories like we're talking about today, about Kate Brown getting caught in another lie, saying she didn't know anything about her lawyers acting unlawyerly and actually illegally under the rules. She didn't know anything about it, but yet the story came out based on her own lawyer's memo to her. She was briefed on it. She's lying. Is that a reason to recall a governor? Trust? Yeah, I think it is. Gail, good job. Thank you. Help these groups, folks. I think it's so important. Thanks for joining us today, friends. I hope you found this interesting and informative. Let's stand up for what's right. Let's hold people accountable. Let's pray. Do the right things. See you tomorrow, friends. It's Freedom Friday. So get out there. Make it a great day. Talk to you then. Start the car.